I just started the space. This is Holy Macaroni through my epochsec.io account. I will not be having my Holy Macaroni account joined today because I'm on the road and just doing it on my phone, and I can't have my laptop running while I'm on the road. But this is the third installment of the first week of my cybersecurity community support introduction spaces. So I did three introduction spaces this week. This is the third one. And I'll just go ahead and let you know right now, if you have listened to either of the other two from this week, then you can, if you have other things to do, you can probably save yourself some time and not listen to this one. But again, I'll be going through an introduction, throw in some fun basic key tips, and then, you know, if anybody joins, I will gladly help discuss whatever they'd like to discuss. So I'm going to go on mute for until probably 10 after. So 10 minutes into this thing, I'll start the introduction, and that's just to give some people time to join if they are available to do so. If you are listening to this recording, then you can find it on my Twitter, probably, or you can go to my epochsec.io website, go to the information feed, and I will post that there probably late this evening, just because I can't do that in my current state. But yeah, I'll go on mute, and I'll be back in, I guess, 8 minutes from now. And also, if you haven't stopped listening to this recording yet, if anybody does join, I'll stop that dead space part. But yeah. All right, so it is now the 10-minute mark, 12:10 Eastern. Nobody has joined yet. This is the first week I've done this. I kind of started mentioning it late, and this is really just an intro call. So, people are starting to hear about this, and I'm hoping it'll pick up. Nobody's here right now, but this is awesome. The times I'm picking this week may also be bad. So before I get into the introduction of my project, I will mention, based on what previously, I'll be out on vacation starting the rest of today through the 13th of November. So it's about 10 or 11 days. So once I am back, I plan on scheduling ahead of time, probably Friday before the following week. I'll schedule all about 4 or 5 per week. I'll schedule probably 2 on Tuesday, 2 on Friday. I might change that up depending on, how well it works with the times and everything. If you have any suggestions, shoot them to me. But that's what I'll probably start out with. And like I said, I'll schedule them ahead of time each week so people can pick what times will work for them. Anyway, the name of the project is Community or Cybersecurity Community Support. The premise is I wrote a proposal to provide my skills and services to the community free of charge. So the Catalyst funds me, and now anybody in the community can get free support, advice, guidance, tips, all sorts of things from very beginner basic level up to more advanced topics. In that way, you get those consulting, you get my time that I dedicate to you for consulting free of charge. So that's the, and sorry if you heard my GPS. But yeah, so again, that's the idea. What I won't be doing are some things that are take very unique skill sets or entire teams, a lot of money, that sort of stuff. So that things like pen testing or penetration testing, auditing, stuff like that. My main goal is to help the individual user base be more aware, provide that awareness, the knowledge and training to help everybody better protect themselves. I'm also here to help teams if they're looking for some guidance. Say they don't have any security experts on their team and they're looking to know maybe what tools they might want to look at or what things they need to consider in protecting them, themselves, their project, and their user base, that sort of stuff. I also plan on doing things like, talking about more medium advanced things such as possibly the MITRE ATT&CK framework or how to use tools like MX Toolbox, et cetera. In addition to that, I've also added the idea of I want to do some kind of coaching or knowledge sharing on how somebody can begin their career path in the cybersecurity field. So maybe how they'll start out, getting an entry-level job, maybe search to consider, career paths, positions, different areas of cybersecurity, things like that. I'll also be, at times be going through some more interesting sharing of things that I've been involved in. Like I'm happy to walk people through what it generally occurs in a ransomware case, activities we do, the stages of it, tools, kind of the results. I won't be providing any customer information or anything like that, but just to give people some insight on how that stuff works and the flow of it. I also have, and not only am I doing these Twitter spaces, but, if you go to my website, epochsec.io, you can find my contact page, and you can email me, or you can use a contact form to email me, or you can use my Calendly link, where it has all my available times. I've already blocked off my vacation period, so, you know, there won't be any mistake there. But starting the 14th, you can schedule any open time that you see on that calendar there on my epochsec.io website. If you're just an individual with some things you want to talk about or ask about, or you're a team, or if you're somebody looking to get in the field, anything security related at all, you know, you're welcome to reach out to me and I'll talk to you about it. I'll also be doing a lot of traditional web to, you know, routine internet, topics, things that you know, the thing here is, you know, we're all in the quote unquote Web3 space now with using blockchains and stuff. And, you know, we have the mentality of, you know, those things are really secure, and, you know, they do have their flaws, but they are really secure. But what we cannot forget is, you know, still 90% of the activity that everybody is doing is still your traditional web internet activity. You're still using email. You're still using mobile phones. You're still going to websites. You know, you're still having interactions on social media, all of the stuff that where all of the standard attack vectors and attack methods are available to bad actors or malicious people doing malicious things. So it's really important to focus on that. I'll be doing and or inviting experts in the blockchain field to come and talk about other topics too, maybe around some general guidance around smart contracts or interacting with them, you know, using dApps or, you know, other blockchain tools out there. So I'll bring in people for those topics, or I may talk about so things. And yeah, and if you were on the Cardano over coffee space this morning, I was on there for 30 minutes or so, talking about the project, answering some questions from the hosts as well as the listeners. So, you know, people had a few different questions on there, and, you know, I gave them my thoughts and feedback and advice. So, you know, if you want something to listen to, go check that out. I think I joined them I started talking around 10 a.m. Eastern. So if you do start watching the space, that's at the point you can start listening to me. And I think I went until about 10:35 Eastern. So back to the project, I will also be releasing a survey. So during, the funding process, we had to write our statement of milestones. And one of the feedback pieces I got was about my survey was to do something, you know, more easily, I guess, documentable or, readable or digestible, for the survey. So my plan is to, you know, if somebody does set up a call or a meeting with me or has a chat with me for a period of time, I'll give you that survey at the end to fill it out. There'll be like three or four general questions, probably just, you know, around seeing if it was useful to you. And then I might, the third or fourth thing will just be a little block where you can give some feedback if you've thought of anything or positive comments. I'll also be doing that standard once a month as well, just for anybody that's joined the Twitter spaces, right? So there'll be two different scenarios where I release that survey, and somewhere around the sixth or seventh month mark, I'll release the, you know, I'll go through the analysis of that and collaborate, you know, bring together the information and see, you know, what feedback I can implement, or, you know, what may wait until whatever the next version of this is, that kind of thing. But yeah, so I'd really appreciate your help in doing that. In addition to the individual or team meetings, as well as the Twitter spaces. What I'll also be doing once per month, or one or two times per month, is releasing a presentation. That might be an article, it might be a PowerPoint presentation. It'll be some fashion that I might change it up as well, but it'll be something I hope that works for you. It could be an easy reference for topics I've discussed that month, tools to use, different things that you can point to instead of trying to re-listen to audio, find that point where that piece of information is, and then hoping you hear it right to find it. So I'll definitely be documenting that routinely. And everything that I do, any space I do, not individual session or any team sessions, I'll report that to Catalyst for my monthly reporting, but I will not be putting your own personal stuff on my website. I'll be putting my Twitter spaces on there, presentations. Eventually the second or third month, I think I'm going to try to do my first video and see how that goes. I'll probably do a live one where I go through something and hopefully have a Q&A if anybody joins, which I hope they do. I think by then I hope to have enough traction where, the thing is, even if I help one person, per period of time, per space or per week or whatever, I've potentially helped save someone from being compromised. Everybody likes to say hacked, which is fine, but me being in the cybersecurity field, I don't use that term because that's specific, connotations and definitions. So I just go with compromised. But, if I could just save one person periodically from being compromised, that would be a success to me, and I take that very passionately. So I really do hope I help people out, and this is valuable. If it is not, you don't even have to wait for my survey. Just shoot me a message. The most important thing for this is not for me to get through my monthly reports and meeting the requirements for my proposal. More importantly is to help people. Right. So if you don't think it's helpful, or if you think I can do something additional to be helpful, please let me know. Let's see, what else can I cover around this? So the other outcome I really hope comes out of this is that, like I said in the very beginning, I wanted to take my skill set. While my skill set in cybersecurity is not, I may not have an in-depth skill set of developing code on the blockchain or writing smart contracts, right? Something directly affecting the technology itself. I do have a cybersecurity background. I do code. I definitely do code. But I guess I'm getting across the point that not everybody has those skill sets to develop things on the blockchain, but you may be active in the community and part of the community and have a specific skill set. Maybe you're a lawyer, or maybe tax advice, or maybe even stretching it, maybe somehow somebody in the medical field could somehow provide their services. I'm not sure. But I hope that my idea helps somebody else generate an idea to involve themselves in the community and do something similar, or use my idea to create a better idea, right? That's the overall 15-minute spiel of my plan, the premise, and everything. So, again, my accounts are this one, and then my main account that I always use is Holy Macaroni. Again, my website is epochsec.io. Between the website and Twitter, you can also find my Discord information. If you can ping me, if you want to talk on Telegram, you can ping me on some social media, and I'll reach out to you on Telegram. Whatever works for you. So, this has been about a 15-minute intro. We're at about the 25-minute mark, I think. Nobody has joined yet, today, but, what I'll do is I'll go back on mute, and if somebody joins, I will begin talking. I'll talk with them and help, whatever discussion they want to have, we'll have. If not, Then I will come back on in 15 minutes from now. So that should be around the 40-minute mark of the space. And I will go through just some general basic random security topics that you can apply on a daily basis to help improve your safety. Yeah, all right, I'll be back in 15 minutes unless somebody else joins. Okay, let me get my earbud back in my ear. We're now at the 41-minute mark, and I said that I would come back, well, I guess at the 40-minute mark, and talk about some generic, tips to help better protect yourself on a daily slash routine basis. There's no rhyme or reason or order to this. It's just a few things that I thought I would throw in for your benefit on these this week's introduction spaces. Let's see. So the first one is more general practice as you're traversing the web, traversing the internet and engaging on social media and dApps or DAXs and so forth, or communicating on Telegram or Discord. One of the things I like to recommend to people is get in the habit of not clicking links. It's all too easy to say, hey, I heard people talking about Project XYZ recently, and someone happens to shoot you a link to XYZ's website or application, your initial reaction subconsciously is, hey, I heard about that. I'm gonna click on this to check it out. It's almost an instant reaction to do that, and unknowingly, you may click on a malicious link from somebody, right? Even if your best friend that you trust sends you something, I would still follow the same practices. Not that you don't trust them, but, you're not sure. You cannot be sure that they didn't get something malicious as well unknowingly and sending it to you. Obviously, also, I never accept, messages from people I don't know immediately. What I'll do is, if someone sends me a link, whether I know them or not, or someone asks me a question or sends me a message, anything of the sort, I will go try to get to the source of that information, and that way I can go to the source and I know it's Nancy's application, and I found them on Twitter, and a bunch of people that I follow are following them, they're talking about it. Just start gathering information to correlate and build trust, and before you even go to whatever said thing it is. Another mentality a lot of people have is not wanting to miss an opportunity and jumping on things quickly. So that goes back to the same thought where people react very quickly to things. Just don't do that. Don't worry about missing an opportunity. I'd rather miss 1 or 2 out of 10 opportunities instead of getting compromised or quote-unquote hacked 1 out of 100 times. It only takes that one time to really drastically impact you or change your life or whatever for the negative. So I just always caution people to be very suspicious, cautious, hesitant, do your research of whatever thing is being sent to you. Again, find corroborating or correlating information, go to the source. Those are some of the things that I almost always do 100% of the time. There are some things, you may know a link is a YouTube link, right? And you're fine going to that. I guess the thing is you don't have to never, ever click on any link. Just you have to, you should be sure and confident in what you're about to go to before you go to it. So just some general guidance and practice that I always follow myself. So let's see. Yeah, and I guess just a close up is the number one attacks out there are still phishing attempts and social engineering, trying to get you to do something, which will then cause some malicious activity. You know, whether it's email as well. Everybody uses email. I mean, there. I heard somebody say the other day, I forget the number. I don't know, something like a billion emails a day are sent and received. I forget the number, but it's something insanely, like some super high number. So emails are still a very common attack vector for phishing and social engineering attempts, as well as social media. Social media is hugely prevalent nowadays, so it's a popular place for bad actors to use or go to. You know, the thing about bad actors or malicious people doing malicious activities, they're not going to go try something on where there are very few people before they try something where there are lots of people, where there's more opportunity for them to coerce somebody or trick somebody or deceive somebody, right? So I guess just keep that in mind as well. Give me just a second before I continue. Oh, hello, Astro. You're welcome to request to jump up if you have any questions or anything. I'm not sure how long you've been here. I'm just going for some general security tips for people that end up listening to the recording. If you aren't familiar, I'm not sure if you are or not, but this is my cybersecurity community support project, and I'm really just having these spaces to share information in lieu of if anybody jumps in like you just did and wants to discuss anything or has any questions. So I don't know if you want to hop up, but what I'll do is invite you to speak. If you want to jump up, you can. If you don't, that is fine, and you can just keep listening to me while I listen to myself as well. But yeah, so with that, there are some tools. There are a myriad of tools out there that you can use to aid yourself in going to the source of the information or building trust and confidence that something is safe or not, right? These are in no specific order, and there's a lot of tools that I'll get into once I get back from vacation on the 13th of November. I'll be going through a bunch of different tools soon. But again, this space is just my introduction space, and I just want to give you a few random fun tools to use to help protect yourself. One thing is VirusTotal. So VirusTotal is a widely used cybersecurity community website. So what you could do on there is you can upload a file there. If you got a file before you even open the file, right? And that's another thing, not just clicking the links, but not click opening files, because you can, you know, bad actors will embed scripts into files, and if you open a file, it'll automatically prompt a script to run and execute whatever malicious activity they're executing. So always be careful with that too for unknown files. But what you can do is upload a file unknown to you to VirusTotal. It'll analyze it and it'll report back to you essentially whether it's safe or not, or known bad. You know, it might already be a known bad file. You can also, if you're familiar with hash values like MD5 or SHA-256, you can get that value of the file and put that into VirusTotal, and it'll automatically tell you if it's bad or not as well. And it uses a bunch of feeds from tons of security vendors. I think every time you look something up on there, I think it reports, I forget, I'm not on my computer right now, but it's something like 100 different security vendors that it'll provide, you know, basically a green or red check mark next to. If I go there and there's two red marks out of 100, I'm already suspicious of that right then. Now, those vendors may have what we call false positives, where they thought it was bad, but it's not actually bad. But what I would do then is try to find other sources to see if they think that thing is bad or not at that point. You can also just punch in URLs in there, and it will analyze the URL, and it'll also do the exact same thing as a file. It'll provide back feedback on whether that website is safe or not. Not that it may be a malicious website, but maybe it's a regular website that's been compromised and has some kind of malicious stuff on there, right? Code or whatever. So keep that in mind. VirusTotal is a great website to use. And it's pretty much free, right? Yeah, I think it is completely free unless you're an enterprise and you want to embed it into your tool. But other than that, it's free. Another thing is, let's see here. Google, so emails, right? So I mentioned emails are a very common attack vector, right? As we all know. So if you get an email from somebody you're not sure, a lot of times Google, O365 from Microsoft, all these different emails have spam, phishing, etc. You know, detections, right? So, but that doesn't mean they'll always catch that. There are times where they don't, right? So, I mean, the other day I got a phishing attempt email in my inbox in Gmail that wasn't caught by Gmail's phishing filter and/or spam filter, right? So it wasn't caught. But I happened to tell that it was malicious. You know, looking at the content of the email, is it illiterate? Is it trying to get me to do something when I've never even talked to this person? Always look at the domain. So the at and then whatever comes after that is the domain, right? Look at that. Does it look weird? Is it a bunch of numbers and letters, or is it maybe obfuscated to look like, you know, a Sunday Swap email address, but it's like Sunday Swap with, you know, two A's instead of an E, or something that you may not easily notice. So always pay very close attention to those sorts of things. Now you can take it a step further if you have the right knowledge, but I would recommend looking at these things I'm about to mention anyway to build that knowledge. So what you can do is you can research how to find, it's very easy to find the email headers of an email in Google or Office 365 from Microsoft. You could just research that on how to find it. It's a few clicks and you can just copy the email headers. Now, you don't have to be able to read the email headers, but what you can do is go to, Google has a email header analyzer. Microsoft also has its own email header analyzer. And it works for any email service. I mean, an email header is an email header, right? So you put it into either one of those services and, you know, it'll show you basically the path that email took. And sometimes that path might show an IP address that might be malicious. And you can look up malicious IP addresses on like something called a text box. Or just a path that has another more advanced way to identify if it's malicious. I'm just going through an introduction and a lot of it out there to share some key random tips and pieces of advice I would recommend that you could implement on a routine basis. But if you want to hop up Gold Rush, I don't know if you do or not, but like I said with the other feller, what I'll do is I'll invite you to speak. If you want to hop up and talk about anything or ask anything, you can. If not, then just listen in. I just have a few more minutes of things to go through here, but I don't have to go through them if you have something to ask. Yeah, I invited you. If you want to hop up, you can. If you don't, then that's fine. So I mentioned that. Now I mentioned MX Toolbox. MX Toolbox has absolute tools on there for looking up keywords and domain information, etc. That's probably a little more for the advanced user, but you know, you're welcome to go on there. What I always recommend to people is go on something. If you think you're going to go to something and not be able to understand it, that's fine. Still go to it because you might find something else on there that helped you understand one little thing and just help grow your knowledge more. Anyway, Gold Rush, you hopped up to speak. Do you have anything?
I'm at work right now and I'm just listening in. I heard your space on Cardano over coffee this morning, and so I made sure to give you a follow, and I'm just trying to get in here and wrap my mind around it while I'm working. I do want to say thank you for putting boots on the ground and protecting Cardano from those white-tailed deer.
Yeah, thanks, Gold Rush. I appreciate it, man. I mean, I don't have a lot of activity yet, but of course, this is just the very first week. I've only done three of these, and it's kind of boring. So I don't really have a lot of activity yet, but this is all about marketing, getting the word out there, and I hope this grows and
exactly,
you know, provides value to people.
I've retweeted the space. I'm trying to spread the word for you, okay?
Well, I very much appreciate it, man. I do. I'm grateful for that, yeah.
I mean, we're all paying for your services, so we better get in here and use them. That's the way I'm looking at it.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Now you don't have to actually pay anything else out of your pocket. Just, you know, and again, if you or you hear anybody else that needs any individual help, I think you probably heard me mention it a bunch of times at this point today, but you can go to my website, epochsec.io, and just pick a time on my calendar, click it, and it sets up a meeting, and I'll be glad to sit down with anybody individually and talk to them about whatever. But yeah, so what are some of the other things I want to mention? So I mentioned looking up domains and knowing that. Now, to fully understand how domains work, you have to know a little more. A few other topics like, you know, what is DNS? You know, what is subnetting? Different things like that. So those are probably a little more medium advanced level topics. So after I get back from vacation on the 13th, I'm going to be building out kind of a plan, and that'll be one of the things that I dig deep into, and I'll probably write up a presentation or article and use that to go through those things to give everybody a better foundational knowledge of, you know, topics like that. But on the surface of it, you know, if you have a domain or essentially a website URL, which really is just pointing to an IP address, and you want to find out more information about it, like who owns it or where it was registered, how long has it been, things like that, you can go to a couple of different websites that are very common in the field to use. The first one would be lookup.icann.org. So that's ICANN.org. It's that along with who.is are the two most common websites or, you know, applications to use for looking up domain information. What I would suggest is just pick random domains and go in there and put them in and see what sort of information you get, what sort of information you understand, or something that, you know, you realize that might be helpful to you. So again, these are two other websites that I use on a very routine basis. I don't think, okay, so let's see. Oh yeah, I skipped the other website that I like to use for looking up websites. That one of them would be trustedsource.org. So trustedsource.org is a database of, you know, websites. To an orange mark if it's, you know, there's something on there. It's malicious, but may not be.
I think you might be rugging. Either that or I'm rugging. Did I rug completely or did he drop out?